It's rolling, everything is rolling. Mm-hmm. Okay. Today is, we're starting up again after the longer Pesach vacation. We're caught up here with all the big events. Tonight is Yom HaShoah, and next week we will hit Yom HaZikaron and Chag HaTzmaut, but I trust it will not affect our teaching because Sunday is no problem. Next week, Monday is Yom HaZikaron, but I trust it won't affect the teaching. I'll ask everyone later. We'll see how we stand. I want to dedicate today's shiur. We had a loss right before Pesach, and it takes away again a great deal of my childhood, and my memories are becoming distant past without any tangible recollection. The death of Professor Louis Feldman. I write about him in Washington, and I would say that Louis Feldman is single-handedly the reason that I wind up a Talmud of Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik and don't remain a Talmud go on to become a Talmud Nufak of Rav Aaron Cutler. I can never forget my first day as a student in Yeshiva College, September 1955, and frightened little kid told about all the upbeat corset that one will hear in college, going to college, tachat lachatz of my parents, coerced, under pressure, so call it as you wish. And my first class in college was supposed to be history. I had a choice of mathematics or history of civilization. And I chose history of civilization. And the teacher was supposed to be Professor Alexander Brody. But at that time, they were retiring him. And they substituted at the last minute a newcomer, Professor Louis H. Feldman. We didn't know who he was. A short fellow walks in. We know he has a PhD from Harvard. We knew he taught in Trinity. And he looked like a Greek god to us. And he starts lecturing. He gives out sheets. We see that he means business. And I look at the topics. Is the Bible real? Is the Bible correct? Science and Bible, all types of topics. And I'm shaking like a leaf. Who knows what apikursus we will hear? And he begins a lecture that I've quoted and reworked 1,000 times over, particularly when I taught on a collegiate level, dealing with the Hammurabi Code and the Hittite Code and Torah Hashem Tamimah. I once dealt with this from the Kollel, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. I never heard a lecture like that in my life. What knowledge and what support. And I'll never forget his words. We religious Jews, believing Jews, don't need any proof that Torah Hashem is Tamimah V'yemet. But it helps at times to be able to prove it to others. And he goes into the lecture. Then we heard that he was spotted in the cafeteria washing the tefillah yadayim, benching, and Louis Feldman goes on to become the famous Professor Louis Feldman. I want to make a correction in the Wikipedia encyclopedia. If anyone knows how to correct there, the article on Louis Feldman begins, Yeshiva University, the institution at which he taught since 1956. I can tell you Avitner Manad since 1955, because I was in the class September 1955. And I express condolences to his wonderful family, to his wife, to his children. What a fabulous individual, what an inspiration, what a scholar, what a Yerusha Mayim, Yehei Zichro Baruch. Now, I just want to fill in, and when we were dealing with Birchat Kohanim, so one of the first lectures, I evidently made the point, I cited to you the Mishnah, that a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kaidim to a Kohen Gadol Amaretz. And I made the point, you know, with Birchat Kohanim, how can it be that we don't let a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, a Chassid, give Birchat Kohanim, if after all, he is more important than a Kohen who could be an Amaretz, a Boor, in any Erechet. So my dear Talmud Rabbi Tzvi Lika wrote to me that I'll leave you with the impression that a Kohen who's not a Tzaddik can't be Mavarech. That's absolutely not so. I quote from Hilchat Tfilah Birchat Kohanim, the Rambam, Perek Tetvav, Halacha Vav, Kohen shelo hayalo kol davar. He doesn't have all the good traits that we're looking for. Ein chacham, ein bedatek b'mitzvot. There are rumors that he does bad things, and the Rambam goes on and on. Nevertheless, he can give nesiat kapayim. Ve'en monim oto lefi shezu mitzvah asay al kol kohen v'kohen. Any kohen who can give nesiat kapayim, he can be an oisva for bum, a lo yutzlachnik. He just got out of jail. He was arrested for 1,001 different reasons, but he can give birchat kohanim. Hold on. No, the community has to let him give birchat kohanim.
Only these. Let's say you have that rabbi from
D.C., the voyeur. I understand what Rabbi Rubin is saying, but I want to quote the Rav. I'm not talking about someone like that, but no, Machalos Shabbos. So the Rav felt, I spoke with the Rav. Look, there's a whole, you can give an endless shayur, you do a master's thesis on what possibles are going from giving birchat kohanim. And is it just that a halal, that he does a kahuna sin? What about if he's a Machalos Shabbos? So the Rav felt that Bisman Hazer, we don't go into Pulpulim, where we should encourage every Kohen, even Chinuch Bakhtanim. Again, the Rav's Torah, and a Kohen, a Machalos Shabbos Yomo, we must encourage him to give Birchat Kohanim. Why? For one simple reason. If we don't encourage, no one will know that he's a Kohen anymore in the Western world. And that's the famous story that Rakefet quotes the Rav word by word in the Rav, where the Rav describes his first wedding in America. And here the Rav from Europe, and the Rav coming from where he's coming from, and here he's being Masada Kedushin the first time in the United States, and he's filling out the ketuvah, and he asked the kid, are you a Kohen, a Levi Israel? And the kid looks at him, he might as well have asked him, are you from Mars, the moon, the sun? Kid didn't know what he was talking about. So halacha l'maisa, when I was in the rabbinate, I had this problem all the time. I can still recall my kohanim. I had one kohen who was married to a giyoret. So there's a big machloket in the shul. Ultimately, they stopped him from giving birchat kohanim. When the shul picked up Shomer Shabbos people who knew how to learn, they were offended. It was a very difficult situation. Herbie knows who I'm talking about. And this man founded the shul and had a lot of skuyot. And he was a Baal Tshuva. There's no question. He came from a
was
very...
He a doctor?
He was a doctor. He came from a very from home. His father was a shochet. And they say it killed his father when his son married a giyoret. And he became 100% from. But he had a marriage, a good marriage. It never entered anyone's mind to tell him, divorce your wife. And the Balabatim ultimately stopped him. I had a lot of aggravation with this situation. But then I had another Kohen who was a good Jew, but his store was open on Shabbos. His liquor store was open on Pesach. And he gave Birchat Kohanim, and I never stopped him because let them know he's a Kohen. By the way, some of his children became Shomrei Shabbos. I played a role in it. One daughter came in Aliyah and married into a Sephardic family, I haven't spoken with her in many years, but Shomeret Shabbat. So it shows you by encouraging encouraging to be a Kohen, it kept the Yiddishkeit going. But it's a very delicate question. Halacha l'maisa, you have to know the situation. In America, I would paskin la halacha that every Kohen should be encouraged to duchen. In Israel, it may be a different situation. You have a kehila, people are shomer Shabbos, people are knowledgeable here, and here's Machalos Shabbos who wants to duchen. Not a simple question. In Israel, the problem comes up on another side, another mirror image that we have nowhere else in the world. Halacha l'maisa, if a Kohen kills someone, he's not allowed to duchen. So Rotzeach, what about if a Kohen in the army killed 1,000 Arabs in battle and won an award, Tzlash? So you heard what Herbie said, Kol HaKavod. So you see, it's you have to understand the situation.
About Ushri, you told us. But Ushri was asked by a Kohen.
Right.
Because he had killed a German soldier.
Right. Right, but he paskin tikin docherin 100% with a German. It's not a shayla, Rabbi.
So killing an Arab terrorist is not a shayla.
No, I understand. I understand.
Let's not get too.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying that you have to know the circumstances and what we're talking about.
Four
has to be seen. Has to be.
Four
got stabbed in Tel Aviv. Rehov Yakon. Unbelievable what we're up against. It's more than that. I was telling Natan before class. Had a very, very hard Pesach that the soldier killed Tahar Lev, right, was the last name. He was the best friend of my grandson. My grandson was with him in the same unit, in the same Hezda. They're both musicians.
They had an article in a post about
it. Rabbi Steinsaltz's Hezda. And Nebuch, my grandson, didn't know he was on guard duty all night. So he went to sleep Thursday morning, and his commander didn't know he didn't know. And the commander wakes my grandson up all of 20 years, shaking him. Wake up, wake up. You've been selected La Seta Taron, to be a pallbearer. And my grandfather didn't know what he was talking about. And Nebuch, his best friend.
Not the guy that I know, the young
girl. No. It's from a different family. It's the youngest boy in my third daughter's family. He's the fifth boy in the army.
This guy is something else.
Okay. Let's move on now, and I come up with one of the most fascinating questions you will ever hear. And I have to tell you, Reb Moshe Feinstein, I don't believe he would handle a question like this, because there are so many hashkafic and political implications. I think those around Reb Moshe would say, Mali Litzarizu, particularly after the 1970s, when Reb Moshe was Reb Moshe, known so well, and people guarded him. But what's amazing about Rabbi Menashe Klein, he handled everything. Now, I'm quoting to you from Chelik Yudchet. This is the volume that was published posthumously, Mishnah Halachot, Chelik Yudchet, Siman Kuf Mem Dalet. Tshuva was written in 1975, and it's written to a Rav from Brooklyn, from Flatbush, who wrote a very famous sefer, Ner LaMeir. If you're familiar with the sefer, it's Rav Yerachmiel Zeltzer. Today it's here at Shlita, today it's at Tzal. Rav Yerachmiel Zeltzer. He has a son who's a wonderful individual. They organized a shul in Flatbush. It's named, I believe it's named Ner LaMeir, after his father's sefer. And here's the question. What are we talking about? It's a tzaddik. He doesn't give the name Chaval. He doesn't give the name which Rebbe it is. He calls him a tzaddik. Tzaddik echad who makes a suda every Rosh Chodesh. Now, what does this mean, every Rosh Chodesh? Let's say, again, I'm surmising that he's talking about, let's say, this Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh, Wednesday, Thursday, correct? Rosh Chodesh year, Dalet Vehei, and Wednesday afternoon, let's say 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he starts the Suda. Fine, Suda Rosh Chodesh, what's wrong? We find in Nach, right or wrong, where there was Suda Rosh Chodesh by Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech. We find with the Shad running to consult Elisha, and her husband says, it's not Moed, it's not Chodesh, what are you running? It's not the Suda. We find in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, that when they ma'abed the Shana, they made a Suda. So you see that tzaddik making a suda on Rosh Chodesh, Kedushat Hayom, fine. It wasn't so rare. So for the sake of argument, the suda begins at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the suda ends, for the sake of argument, 11, 12 o'clock midnight. All right, what's wrong? So it's a suda with Divrei Torah, with Hitor Rut, with singing. Compare it to Lubavitch, Yutet Kislev. If anyone's ever been to a Fabrengen at Lubavitch, Yutet Kislev began, if I recall correctly, at 10 o'clock at night, continued till 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, if I recall correctly. I'm pretty sure I'm reliving it properly. No, what's wrong? With Lubavitch, there's nothing wrong. You take a slave, you daven mincha, you daven mariv, you ate supper, and then you came to 770. Yomo, with this Rebbe in Flatbush, the Suda began 4 o'clock in the afternoon, continued to 11 o'clock at night, and at 11 o'clock at night, they davened mincha. Herbie underlined the word mincha. Natan, you heard what I just said? No? I want to ask you a question. Can you daven mincha 11 o'clock at night when sunset, for the sake of argument, in Brooklyn was 8:30.
I have to think about it.
Yeah. One second. Say Kakachabim.
Say it was after Rosh Chodesh, and could you say
Yom HaVeYom on Birkat HaMazon? All right, yeah, that's a famous Shiloh. And what do you do? What do you do Shabbos if you hold Sudash Lishit into the night, and Yom HaVeYom and Ritzei and Etate the Satre, because Shabbat was not Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is Sunday, it's not Shabbat. All right. The Achronim, Mamafalpil with it, and Reb Heschel Shechta, in the first issue, first volume where he deals with the Rav, he tells the story with the Rav's mother in onset, where the Rav's mother told them off for bringing themselves to a suffet. They started eating on Rosh Chodesh, and they finished after nightfall, and do they have to say, Yalla V'yavo? And she told them off, why do you bring yourself to a Machlokes Achronim? You should have either started earlier, was started later, where there would be no Shaila. All right, interesting Shaila. But here you have the whole, what you're getting involved with here is the whole question of Hasidut. And right here in this Beit Medrash, a number of years ago, you all know I had a big battle. Rav Shechta was here, Rav Willick was here, and that year, none of you were probably in high school at the time. None of you were in NYU at the time, so that year, every year, 770 has a weekend for YU students. So generally speaking, 20 kids sign up, 30 kids sign up. That year, over 100 YU students signed up to go to 770. And the Rosh Yeshiva, or some of them, were furious. And Rav Heschel and Rav Morty Willig and others, Rav Meir Twesky, wanted to come out with an Issa against Chabad and Issa against going to 770. So I heard about it and I got involved in the Homa Choyket here with them. And I, well, what's your problem with Chabad? I want to be very brief. It's not the important part of the lecture today. But so Morty Willig told me that he asked the rabbi, the Chabad rabbi in Riverdale, do you believe that Rebbe is Mashiach? And the Chabad Shaluach in Riverdale said, don't ask me personal questions. So Morty derived from that every Chabadic believes the Rebbe is Mashiach. All right, Mela, I don't believe every Chabadic believes the Rebbe is Mashiach. The Rebbe is dead. But all right, I don't know what this guy meant by his answer, that the Rebbe could have been Mashiach. Okay, we gave lectures on it, it's not for now. Rabbi Heschel Shechter tells me, in addition to the Messianicism, the Chabadikim Davin Shalom Bisman. And all of you know that Shabbos morning, Chabad begins 10 a.m. Unbelievable, 10 a.m. They have a Masorah. This is what the Alter Rebbe did. This is what Chabad did throughout the ages. They begin davening 10 a.m. No, look at your clock. Look at your watch. And let's not fool ourselves. They'll tell you, wake up early, say Shema, go to Mikveh, be Yotze. It's only davening that you can do after Shema, after this month. You know, the masses don't wake up early, don't say Shema this month. They wake up and they say, great, we can sleep late, go to a Chabad minyan, 10 o'clock. They daven Shalom Bisman. So I told Rav Heschel, B'zeh HaLashon, I said, Heschel, we've been going, fought that battle 200 years ago, and he lost. Over davening shelo bizman, I'm not yet prepared to put Chabad into Chayrim. But we all have to agree, it is a tantalizing problem for a Jew who lives with halacha. How can we throw out the Shulchan Aruch? And then you get involved with certain rabbeim, for instance, in Bayit Vagan. What's the name of the rabbi in Bayit Vagan? He holds Shabbos, they make Havdalah Sunday morning, the Amshanavar, absolutely. Amshanavar Rebbe. The present Rebbe too, Yomo also, Yomo, also doesn't keep Zman Natan, the present Rebbe. He also makes Havdalah Sunday morning, they hold Shabbos endlessly.
I think Tuesday morning.
Wow. No, how do you accept it halachically? I can't believe that Tuesday morning.
Was the story with they made machah to Shlomozan Friday?
Yeah, what was the story with Shlomozan?
They made machah. Right. I don't know who it was in Canaan.
Right.
The Shlomozan would just tell him off.
Right.
So the Shlomozan had an occasion to meet him, and he finally met him, and he's like very in all of his presence. He said, "I'm not saying what you're doing is right, but you don't like mess with someone like that."
So right. Right. Now, so what you're telling me is again. Here we see a Yid, a Tzaddik, with Ruach HaKodesh, with all types of marvelous, miraculous stories, and here he is Eiva Halacha, is Mezalzel Bismanei Tefillah. So the question is an overwhelming question. And this question has so much ramification. What does it mean, Tefillah? What does it mean, Tefillah Bisman? What does it mean going to a Rebbe's Tish? What does it mean viewing a Tzaddik? How do you open your mouth? That's not kind of what you're alluding to with the Shlomo Zalman. How do you open your mouth and tell a Tzaddik off? And yet, all of Halacha is based upon the surrendering to the Halacha. Shem Yirachem, if we start to play games with the Halacha. Hashem Yerachem, if we say, yes, there's a halacha for Kriyat Shema and Zman Tefillah, but it doesn't apply to me. I'm above it. No, if we take that approach, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and you all know there's the joke, but it's a joke that has a lot of meaning, where Hasidim are boasting about their rebellion. And one Hasid says, my Rebbe is so important and so fabulous. He walks, and on one side there's rain, on the other side there's rain, and in the middle there's no rain where the Rebbe walks. And the other chassid says, my Rebbe is even more than that. A gate, on one side it's Shabbos, on the other side it's Shabbos, but with him it is still Chol. And this problem, you see, a Litvak, Reb Heschel Schechter, Reb Morty Willig, maybe Reb Moshe Feinstein, would have no problem answering the question, black and white, you can't go to the Siddur, you can't sit at the Siddur, you can't be with that Tzaddik, you can't be Mezalzel in Manei Tefillah, how can you eat a tremendous meal and you haven't daven mincha, and how can you daven mincha 11 o'clock at night? Stay at home and don't budge. Rabbi Nasha Klein is caught in the middle. Because on one hand, he's committed to the Vach Hashem Zu Halacha. On the other hand, he comes from Hungary, he comes from Romania, he comes from the area where Hasidus ruled. And he can appreciate what a Rebbe is. And this is the Tshuva. Now, very fascinating. He begins, first of all, he makes the point we just made, how can we argue with the Shulchan Aruch? How can we argue with the Balei Halacha? How can we argue with the Achronim? And he's trying to melamed zchut. And he gets us involved in the classic issue. When is Shkia? When is Tzeitah Kachavim? And all of you know Rabbeinu Tam Shita. And you can wind up with Rabbeinu Tam. Shkia is as late as 72 minutes, perhaps, after the ordinary sunset. You can wind up with Rabbeinu Tam. He refers here to the Briska Chumra. I told you this many times over the decades. They add an achtel. They add an eighth. They wind up with 90, 92 minutes after Shkia. I'm told that the Rav didn't do Malacha the Oraita until 92 minutes after Shkia. If you read the book on Rav Meir Tversky, the book that came out in memory of Rav Meir Tversky, pardon me, Rav Meir Laricha German Tovim, his brother Rav Meir, killed in Hanof in the shul, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, you'll see all the chumras that Rav Meir Tversky had, including this.
So, what's the basis of that
chumra? Well, when is really sunset? When is really Tzeisak HaChavim?
If you ask a scientist,
is
there any scientist who tells you that the Rabbeinu Tam was maybe right?
And I don't know. I can't answer. You have to ask someone in astronomy. Okay, no, but say that. Yomo, you know. You get okay. But I want to tell you something very important. You should know when we're now Yom HaShoah, when the Sheirat HaPleita came to America. So you should know that many of them went with Rabbeinu Tam Shita, Lekula Lechumra. You had people smoking cigarettes when everyone else already was Makabel Shabbos. You don't know how much machloket there was. And the Rabbanim here told the Sheirat HaPleita off, told their Rebbeim, that in America, if you're going to be Machalim Shabbos, but Parchesia, when everyone else is Shomer Shabbos, you'll destroy whatever Shabbat we have here. This is not Europe, and here you have to toe the mark. I would like to believe today that 90% of Hasidim don't follow Rabbeinu Tam on Friday night, but follow Rabbeinu Tam on Matzai Shabbat. But Reb Menashe Klein, with all his feeling, trying to be Melamed Zchut, says, no matter how much we will talk about Tzeit HaKachavim, no matter how much we will talk about Zmanei Tefillah, as matter no much we'll talk about Matzai Shabbos, no one but no one can say that Tzeit HaKachavim begins 3 hours after dusk, 3 hours after it becomes dark. And there's no way in the world that you can justify davening mincha that late. And you can see his heart is torn. This is a person who's a shtikel chassid, who related to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who comes from chassidim. He is torn, he is bothered, he is troubled. Then he goes into a pilpul. And I have to tell you, this little pilpul, you can have lots of use out of it in teaching. It's a beautiful portion of this tshuva. Again, he's trying his best to justify the Rebbeim. And he tells a beautiful story. We all know in Brachot, Daf Chaf Chet Amid Bet, the Mishnah, Ha'oset tfilato keva, ein tfiloto rachamim v'tachnunim. And this is a Mishnah, this is a whole discussion, and what does it mean? Ha'oset tfilato keva, that you, if you make your davening appointed at certain times, it's not a good davening, it's not the highest level. It's not rachamim, it's not tachanum. And he says, katchavei talya, when I was a little kid, I asked my Rebbe, what does this mean? How can the Mishnah criticize a Jew who makes his davening time-wise, keva, following a schedule? If after all, the whole Shulchan Aruch gives us times when to daven shachris, when to daven mincha, when to daven mariv, adarabha, hoset vilato keva is the greatest Jew in the world. No, when we grow up, all of us, I hope, a makpid on zmanei tefillah. I don't want to see someone wandering around grus 9 o'clock in the morning. He hasn't davened shachris yet. He's not awake yet. His eyes haven't opened. He can't concentrate yet. Give you 101 terutzim was min zakt in Yiddish. I'll translate it for you in a second. A tshuva fada baba, a teretz fada baba. You got it? That's an answer you give your grandmother. Because you're right. Exactly. How do you say it in Hebrew? That was Sipurei Safta. All right, I don't know if it's exactly the same. But your grandmother is not going to rebuke you.
That's
Baba Mises. No. This is a teretz from Baba. You understand? Because your grandmother loves you. She's not going to rebuke you. But how can you not daven bizman? What a terrific question he asked his rabbi. And his rebbe didn't give him a good answer. But he came up with a fabulous answer later in life. And watch what he comes up with. Why do we daven? No, open up the Rambam. All of you know the Gemara, the Rambam, any book about davening. There are two reasons why we daven. One reason is karbanot. Davening takes the place of karbanot. You all know. All our davening in the morning. What is shachrit? Shachrit is in place of the karban tamid of shachrit. What is mincha? In place of the karban tamid of mincha. What is mariv, which is not the same chiyuv, it's not a chovar, it's a reshut originally, in place of the evarim that they burned all night on the Mizbeach. So that is one reason for davening. In place of the Kabbalah, Yehi Ratzon, V'Nashlim Parim Sfateinu, 1,001 different references in davening itself, that in place of the Kabbalah, you all know Musaf, we actually read the Karban of the day. Oh, wow. That's one reason. But then the Gemara in Bracha, Daf Chaflav Vamed Bet, gives another reason. Why do we daven? Because the Avot davened. Avraham instituted Shachrit, Yitzchak instituted Mincha, Yaakov Avinu instituted Mariv. The Avot instituted davening. It has nothing to do with Kabbanot. The Avot come before Kabbanot, come before the Mishkan, come before the Beit HaMikdash. The Avot instituted davening because a person has to daven, a person has to talk to God. We've said over 1,000 times the Vot of the Rav. Yitzchak and I heard this from the Rav endless times when the Rav would ask, how can a little mortal, a frail mortal, stand before the Almighty and make request? What chutzpah? But b'tzara anochi mima makim karaticha Hashem. None of us have a perfect life. There isn't one person in this room who can raise his hand and say, I have no problems, my life is perfect. We have, out of Yom HaZikaron, we have a survivor sitting here who went through the hell of the Holocaust. Well, who has a perfect life? What can I tell you? Children, grandchildren, parents, difficulty, jobs, schools that don't accept us, shidduchim that don't work out. We can go on and on listing all our difficulties. Mimamakim karaticha Hashem. This is why many Yisrael, which you don't see anymore, but in the old time shul where the chazan davened, it was like a little pitch, a little hole downstairs that it would step into, a little, what would we call it, not a cave, but a lower level. Well, give me a good English word for it, a depression, but is there a word for it? It's like he would step down Why? To indicate, Mi ma'amakim karaticha Hashem. I once saw a shul, I think it was the Spanish Portuguese in Amsterdam from the 1500s, where the shul slants down, where the chazan davens up front. Mamish, there's a slant down to indicate Mi ma'amakim. Ah, so now let me ask you a question. Kabanot are governed by Zman, but needs? Why should time have anything to do with it? We need God 24/7. If that's the case, in theory, I can daven shacharis at 7 in the morning, at 11 in the morning, at 12 noon. The need is there. I can't be limited by a kviot, by a time framework. And he goes even further. This is the whole concept. And he refers to the Gemara in Brachot. You can take the sugya and work it out. The whole concept of tashlumin. Just think for a minute, you missed mincha. You missed mincha, whatever, by accident. It's not that you missed mincha on purpose. You missed mincha by accident. A lot of times, twice in my life, I missed mincha. In the 1950s, in the middle of the winter, how did I miss mincha? We used to have 2 weeks off between terms in Talmudical Academy. If you had a class, your class average was over 90, you didn't have to take a final exam. That was abolished in 1953, but from 51 to 53 in high school, twice I had 2 weeks off between terms. It's winter, sunset is 4:30. I was so involved in what I'm doing, Ivey, 6 o'clock at night, I realized I hadn't davened mincha. I wasn't used to the yeshiva system. There, I was used to davening mincha in school. Twice I missed mincha in my life. I never missed mincha subsequently, but twice. No, you can daven marav twice. One tefillah is the chi of marav, and then afterwards the tashlumim. What is tashlumim? How can tashlumim be possible? Yitzhak, you followed the lum this year? If you miss the carbon, why tashlumim? You miss carbon shachret. No, now it's mincha time. You missed mincha. Well, next day you can't bring two carbonat mincha or two carbonat shachret. But if tvila is bakashet rachamim, because the avot had to pray to God, had to make requests from the Almighty, then we have a right to be mashlim. And you all know, there's the famous expression in the Gemara, V'levai sheyit palel kol hayom, that a person should daven all day. What do you mean a person should daven all day? Would we say a person should bring a kavan shacharit all day? A person should bring a kavan mincha all day? It's ludicrous. But if tefillah is bakashat rachamim, halvai we should daven all day. Of course, we have to go to work. It doesn't work out. But halavai we should daven all day. We have to learn shas. We have to learn poiskim, litvakin, run back to learning. Halavai we should daven all day. Tefillat rachamim. So you see what he's trying to do here. He's very fascinating. He's trying to develop the idea that there are two concepts to davening. One concept deals with zman, kavua, kviyot, a time, a calendar, a framework. One concept, no time, no framework, constant, ongoing, bakashet rachamim, Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, two different concepts. If you take the concept of time, then of course, how can you daven mincha 11 o'clock at night? Time framework. If you take the concept of bakashet rachamim, then it's possible 11 o'clock at night you can daven. You can see he's suffering. He's caught between two worlds. Halacha, Dvar Hashem, open Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, and Chassidus, a Rebbe, a Tzaddik. He's caught between two worlds, and he's trying to solve the dilemma. He's on a bridge. He's standing over the River Kwai in the middle of the bridge. Yomo, you follow the life. A lot of times this happens. You can be a Mizrachiite, and you have a love of Hasidus, and you can appreciate how good it is Yisrael, and you're caught in the middle. Push comes to shove. You have to make a decision. But he goes further. And here he takes a Gemara, fabulous Gemara. You'll see what he does with this Gemara. Again, it lends itself to so much homiletics. And you see, this is a different type of tshuva. Natan, you wouldn't find Reb Moshe talking like this in the middle of a halachic tshuva. You wouldn't find Reb Ovadia Yosef talking like this in the middle of a halachic tshuva. But here you see a Hasidic neshama, a Hasidic soul, and he's caught on the bridge, in the middle. And here he quotes the Gemara from Brachat, Daf Lamed Dalid Amid Bet. It's fabulous Gemara. Rabbi Chaninya ben Dosa, he had the ability to daven for sick people. He had Ruach HaKodesh, and he could walk into the hospital, God forbid, in a heart unit where so many people are ill, and he would daven, and he would look at this bed, at this person, say, he will live. He will die. He will live. He knew. He knew exactly who he could save with his prayers and who he couldn't. And the Gemara, Herbie tells the following story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Hanina ben Dasa came to him to learn Gemara with him. And while he's learning with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his son, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son, becomes ill. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, turns to Hanina and pleads with him, please pray for my son that he should live. And at that moment, Rabbi Hanina ben Dasa puts his head between his arms and starts praying for the boy, and he lives. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, if I would put my head between my arms the entire day, God wouldn't listen to me. Nope. Gentlemen, so far so good. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pleads with Rabbi Hanina ben Dasa to daven. He davens, puts his head between his arms, or birkav, I believe it's like this, bending down.
All is well and good.
On
but
his
how feet. About the people he said are not going to
live? He knows he can't succeed, that God is taking them. But there's a different problem here.
Is
it bad to blame? No. Listen, God, we can't stop death. The Malach HaMavis is around. We all know it. We daven, we pray, we hope that our prayers will stop the Malach HaMavis. But when your time is up, your time is up. We all understand that. So here, you take a look. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that the home of Sover goes through him. He is subservient to Rabbi Hanina ben Dasa. No, who's watching all this? Gentlemen, you're married, you have wives. Some of you have wives, yes, Baruch Hashem. Oh, Mrs. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can't get over it. She thinks she's married to the Gadol Hadar. And here is Talmud has infinitely more power than her husband. And she turns to him. Omrlo Ishto, You see, the Gemara is very down to earth. These are the way women are, 100%. The Gemara is very down to earth. She opens her mouth and says, V'chanina gadol mimcha? Is Chanina ben Dosa your Talmud? He is greater than you? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answers, Omala, love, no, he's not greater than me. Elohu dome ke'evet lifnei ha-melach, va'ani dome k'sa lifnei ha-melach. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gives an answer, very obtuse, esoteric answer. Rabbi Chanina is like a slave, a servant before the king. And I am a sar. I am a member of the king's memshalah, sar b'memshalat Yisrael. What does that mean? And Rashi explains that an eved, he goes and comes before the king at will. He always has to show the king he's ready to do his will. He enters, leaves, doesn't have to make an appointment. But a sar b'memshalat Yisrael, he comes before the prime minister only with an appointment, only when he's needed, only when he is called. He can't just knock on the door and walk in at any moment. Wow, this is a fabulous insight. And therefore, Reb Chanina ben Dasa, he is an Evet. And he can appear at every time, every moment. I am a Sar. I'm bigger, I'm greater, I'm more knowledgeable. I recognize who I am, but I'm limited in how often I can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need an appointment. Yitzchak, this is the way it touched up the Gemara, he explains the Gemara. Now he makes the homiletic comparison. If prayer is because of Karbonot, then you're a sar. You need time. You can't bring a Karbon when it's not the appointed time. You have to make an appointment in advance. But if prayer is bakashat rachamim, then I'm an eved. At every moment, I need help. I want to help. I want to indulge in a good deed for the king. I want to help the king. Prayer can be any time, any moment. You do not need a definitive framework. And wow, what a difference. So you see, if we're only a sar, as great as a sar is, then we need a framework. But if we're an eved bifnei hamelech, anytime, knock on the door, enter. Adoni hasar, can I help you? Adoni HaMelech, can I help you? Can I be of service? Can I ease the burden of the king? Any time, any minute, you're not limited by time. And he's going to go further, but I want to set you up for what he's going to say. This is my words now, then we'll come to his words. Gentlemen, with this homiletic understanding, we can understand a litvak and compared to a chassid. A litvishe resh yeshiva, he's a sar, he's a prince, he's knowledgeable. Rav Aaron Kotler, Mori Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, their knowledge of Torah, their ability to paskin, to put sources together, they are sarim, B'memshelat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they're sarim, they're limited. They have to daven at proper times. They have to fit into a framework. They go back to learning, go back to teaching, go back to saying a shir, go back to writing Chiddushei Torah. Davening has to follow an absolute framework. A Hasidic Rebbe, his whole life is Avodat Hashem. His whole life is spreading the word of God. Look at the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what he did, who lo mevatel al af Yehudi, wouldn't give up on any Jew. I just heard Reb Yosef Mizrahi, if I'm quoting correctly, I wish Avraham Rachman were here. Wow, does he attack the Lubavitcher Hasidim? Couldn't believe my ears. They take every Russian, they malamet zchut, and they give them covered. And then I read literature in Lubavitch where they attack them. They take these Jews, Mechalalei Shabbos, Hollywood people, basketball players, football players, and turn them in, wow, covered, endless covered.
What is the reason for that? Is that jealousy?
And I hear the Lubavitch shluchim answer, yes, you're right. We were makabel on ourselves never to speak evil of a Jew. And I add the concept, there's no such thing as a bad Jew today. Tinokat shenishpa'u in the full sense of the word. But you see the difference here. A litvish resh yeshiva, zmanim, kvuim. You take a guy like Rakefet. I know Rakefet well. He's learning, he's writing, he's reading, he's improving. I'm working on a new book, what I'm going through, improving the English, trying to take difficult concepts and make it clarified in English, etc., etc. Oh, you got a daven. Time's to daven. There's a Hasidic Rebbe. The whole day long, the whole night, Kedusha V'tara, Ma Be'yirat Shemayim B'Yisra'el. Yitzchak, relax yourself. You still suffer from Saflanut. But now, when all is said and done, beautiful drush. And he goes even further. He takes the Gemara, Sugim Psachim, Daf Pezayin Amid Bet, beautiful Gemara, Srara, Mikaberet et Ba'ala, that when you come into Srara, you become a Sa, you become an important person, you are acknowledged, it buries you. What does the Gemara mean? And he touches up, you know what the Gemara means? Better to be an Eved than to be a sar. A lowly Eved can appraise, approach, speak to God at any time. But when you're a sar, when you're a big shot, you need specific, I'm not pronouncing it right,
specific times.
You need specific times to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you saying?
Your computer changes if you misspell anything.
No, that's the computer, but I'm talking about how do you write rabbinic Hebrew in intelligent English. The computer can't do that. It can only help you improve the English, but you have to be able to state it clearly. We talk terms, HaMakadosh Al-Tanai, Gittin Chal Me'achshav, not so simple. When you give a get al menat al tanai and you don't come back pasik mafra, how do you explain these terms in English? But be it as it may, that's the way he teaches up the Gemara. That srara, you lose your status as an eved when you become a sa. better to be Hanina ben Dosa than to be Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. But nevertheless, Reb Menashe Klein is haunted by Yitzchak Rubin. With all his pilpa, with all his homiletics, he too quotes Yitzchak Rubin. Rabbi Rubin, what did you just say? This is very nice, it's a good drasha, I can develop very nice ideas, but halacha's halacha, how do we throw out the Shulchan Aruch? How do we dare take the Shulchan Aruch and disregard it and daven 11 o'clock at night? The question shouts at us, the question remains. And here he says, and this is the ultimate answer, the only answer, Hasidim will give this answer, Rebbeim will give this answer, a Litvak will not accept the answer, and I'm caught on the bridge right in the middle, suffering as a Litvak and trying to understand as one who appreciates Hasidut. And of course he says, yes, everything I've written is very fine, very nice, very good, but only a tzaddik can become an eved. The average Jew, avol acherim, ein reshut netuna, ela bizmanim hamugbalim. The average Jew, you can only approach God, it has to be times that are set. You can't become an Eved. Only Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. Why? And he quotes the Pasuk, because he was the most humble person that ever lived. What?
David
HaMelech, but we say about Moshe Rabbeinu in the Chumash, Okay, so now we're back where we started from. This poor Jew, Rabbi Seltzer, Yorei V'Shalim, what does he do? He's caught in a quagmire. He's invited. Not every Jew's invited. He's invited to the Rebbe's Tish. I wish I knew who the Rebbe was. Who this tzaddik was. What does he do? And here he goes in to the whole question of, are we allowed to question tzaddikim? And he says, "Benogea l'didan l'masa." To answer your question, halacha l'maisa. I have been raised among tzaddikim.
How can you tell who's tzaddik?
Hold on 1 second. You suffer from, I guess in that Shimoni Shul, everyone suffers from Savonitis. Hold on. Shaharoed Sadek Osedava Shanirlo Kenegada Shulchanarech. Imhumafusan Bitsitkato. And here's what Herbie is saying. Lo kahat suim. Ha'osim ma'aseh zimri u'mavakshim secha Pinchas. Ayachrech harav chalila v'tzarich atal adino kol lekaf schut kefi ha'efshar. And to translate this, it is almost impossible. But this is the problem that all of us face. Who is a tzaddik? And I have lived in Eretz Yisrael 48 years, and believe me, I have seen individuals, I'm flabbergasted, shocked, by their actions, by their statements, can give you a long list of religious figures and what came about as a result of their actions. I still suffer from what happened early 80s when we could have outlawed chaza in the land of Israel in all Jewish areas, both to grow it and to sell it. And there was an overwhelming majority in the Knesset, and Menachem Begin pleaded with Menachem Parrish to withdraw the bill. They paid off money that supposedly went to Chinuch Atzmai. I underlined the word supposedly, and the bill was withdrawn. And right afterwards, the big Russian immigration began. Halavai, that bill would have been passed. There would be an entirely different situation today in Israel. Which Russians would have come here, which Russians wouldn't have come here. What I have seen with my own eyes, what we just saw now, where Shas, the political party, where supposedly Hosha Chachokam Shalom Kohen runs it, the man who said anyone who wears the kippah through God is a Malek, they could have said that in Tel Aviv, stores cannot open on Shabbat. And take a look what we have. They didn't say anything. The Supreme Court ruled. And I have to tell you, once some stores will open in Tel Aviv, ultimately, give it 10 years, give it 20 years, every last store in Israel will be open on Shabbat outside of some ghetto areas where the population won't tolerate it. God have mercy. A member of the Rabbi Meidan of Gush Etzion was on the radio, Alon Shvut, and he stated, Sam Dershowitz was shaking, couldn't believe his ears, that what's wrong if you have a few makolot in Tel Aviv opening Shabbos morning? I read in the weekend papers that Rav Sherlau, I believe is a graduate, he's of American origins, a graduate of Alon Shvut, can criticize Rav Ariel of Ramat Gan, who should be the chief rabbi of Israel, and he should have been elected, not Metzger. He criticized him, Rabbi Ariel just spoke, that the proper family is a mother and father, a female and a male, an Ishvi Isha, and he was criticized for talking that way. Gentlemen, by Rabbi Sherlau, according to the weekend. You're talking, quote Rabbi Sherlau, you're talking about human beings, you can't defend them. My dear students, I don't know who a tzaddik is and who is not a tzaddik. The arrest we see here, what happened to us with Metzger as chief rabbi brought in by the Haredi world. I hope my chaverim and my role models are tzaddikei yisod olam. But the minute you get involved in trying to decide who is a tzaddik and who isn't a tzaddik, you have a real problem. Bochein levavot Hashem. We are only human beings. And I can't tell you, I'm overwhelmed. Does this mean that Rav Maidan is not a tzaddik, that Rav Shiloh is not a tzaddik, that Rav Hoshech, Chacham Shon Mekoyin is not a tzaddik, that Rav Yoshev is not a tzaddik, or all that went on? These are such terrible problems that I cannot, this is not an answer. In whom a fursam bitzit kato, but even Rabbi Asher Klein realizes, lo kahat sluim ha'osim ma'aseh zimri umavakshim secha kapinchas. And therefore, lahalacha, it is very dangerous. How can you say this tzaddik told me I can daven mincha 11 o'clock at night? And he tells him, I would tell you, you can't follow what he's doing only after you speak with him. And he tells you, lahalacha al pi ha-Torah v'yazbir, and he'll explain to you, and you can understand him, and he makes sense, then perhaps you can follow him. But chas v'chalila, if this is something that tzaddik makes up on his own, we do not follow him. We can't go against Takonet Chazal. We can't go against our tradition. We can come up with new ideas and say, "Mitlotat atzmenu be'ilan gadol bar-ilan," the name that we say this tzaddik did, and we can follow his example. So here I want to tell you a fascinating story. If I'm correct, I heard this from Rabbi Abba Brandspiegel many decades ago. I wish I could contact Abba today and find out, but I understand he's not able to deal with questions like this today. If I recall correctly, Abba came to America. He was a survivor. Gerach Sidim, his grandfather, when his grandfather walked into the room of the Re'im, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Alter, the Sfat Emes' son, the famous Gera Rebbe, who reaches Israel in 1940, with his most of his family decimated, when his grandfather walked into the room of Rabbi Avraham Mordechai, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai would stand up for his grandfather. His grandfather was the Malamed Dardaki of the Gera Rebbe, of the famous third Gera Rebbe, the son of the Sfat Emet. He taught him Chumash, Gemara, introduced him to the world of Shas and Paiskim. The Re'im, as you all know, had a phenomenal memory and knew Kala Torah Kula by heart, I'm told. The Re'im, I believe that's the name of the Sefer, but his name is the Re'im, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Alter. He was the third Gera Rebbe, the son of the Sfat Emet. So Abba survived the... Yitzchak Meir was the first Gera Rebbe. Then Rabbi Yehuda Leib was his grandson, was the second Gera Rebbe. All his children predeceased him. And Rabbi Yehuda Leib's son was Rabbi Avraham Mordechai, who was the third Gera Rebbe. The fourth Gera Rebbe was Rabbi Avraham Mordechai's son, who survived the Holocaust, Rabbi Yisrael. Okay, he was Gera Rebbe when I came in Aliyah. I believe he died in 77. I remember I was at the funeral. All of Yerushalayim was closed down. Tens and tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands. So I believe Abba Brandspiegel. Do you recognize the name Rabbi Brandspiegel? First of all, he was my classmate. We got smicha together. Rabbi Brandspiegel was a beloved Rebbe in Yeshivas Rabbi Chanan for many decades. And then he became the Rosh Yeshiva in Lander College when Bernie Lander pulled him out of YU to Lander College. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva there. So Rabara winds up in Switzerland. His family goes from Switzerland to America, and they're on the same boat that the Satmar Rav is on. And on the boat, everyone knows the Satmar Rav is on the boat. All the younger light, all the young people are watching every move of the Satmar and starting to emulate him. And the Satmar is davening. I once went to see the Satmar Rav. He finishes Shacharis. I remember it was during the winter. So sunset was like 4:15, 4:30 in New York. He finishes Shacharis at 3:30 in the afternoon. So students started to emulate him on the boat. And the Satmar Rav calls them over and tells them off. How do you daven alacha hazman? How are you mezalzel in zman tefillah? How do you finish davening so late? So they say to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, we're your Hasidim. We're emulating you." And the Rebbe shouts at them, "Unayatata dechik daven dasei shpet, and your fathers also daven so late." And what the Satmar Rav was saying, it's one thing for me to do it because this is my tradition, but for you to do it is totally forbidden. You can't emulate me. You have to follow the Vach Hashem, the Shulchan Aruch, the simple lifestyle of every Jew. We're not finished yet. You can't believe what he's going to develop here. But so far, very fascinating conflict, halacha, chassidus, tefillah, kviyutzman, karbonot, rachamim, avot, wow, what he has given us here, Eved, Sar, only the Tzaddik. And there he understands himself. How do we know who is a Tzaddik? How do we know who is pure? How do we know who is above any politics and any monetary issues? And as I say, having lived in Israel for 48 years, very hard to establish who is a Tzaddik. I have my own opinions. If you want an example of someone I consider a Tzaddik, Reb Chaim Drukman. If you know Reb Chaim Drukman, you know his family, know his wife, know the life he has led, the children he adopted. I stand in awe of Reb Chaim Drukman. All right, that's my example of someone I know close, who I have known for 60 years already, and I, more than 60 years, 65 years, since he was Shliach B'nai Akiva to America. You ask me for an example, it's the best I can give. I can't give anyone else that comes near Chaim Drukman, a Leif Tahar, 100%. But okay, who am I? That's my opinion. But you can see, even the Mishnah Halachot, Tzvuim, he understands exactly the question Herbie Maltz, Chaim Maltz, is alluding to. But now he comes to another part that the inquirer never dreamt of this. Gentlemen, there's another factor here. I want to give you a little story from life. You come to the Plaza Hotel. All right? You're going up to Kiddush. And by the way, this never happened, but it's a story I made up. It could happen, and it illustrates the point I want to make. You want to go up. The Kiddush is on the 22nd floor. It's owned by the Jesselfen family, had an apartment there. I knew other people had apartments there. Kiddush is on the 22nd floor. So here, the Rebbe is waiting for the Shabbos elevator to go up. Student comes along, he sees the Rebbe, gives him good Shabbos. Sorry, Rebbe, I don't take a Shabbos elevator. He's going to walk up the steps. Okay.
The Rebbe can.
Now, just think of this little illustration. The Rebbe's waiting for the automatic Shabbos elevator, and the student is showing he's frummer than the Rebbe. Okay? So you see, this is a very awkward concept. I don't know if that student is correct.
The student wasn't too bright.
The truth is, while this may be a fictitious story, it happens in different...
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand.
No, physically
fitter
than the Rebbe.
No, if he's physically fit and the Rebbe's not there, we're talking with the Rebbe, believe me, today with my legs, I can't walk up 22 flights on Shabbos. I will take the Shabbos elevator, or if there's no Shabbos elevator, I just can't get up, period. I can't do that to my body. But we're talking where the Rebbe's physically fine, but he's lahalacha, 22 flights. He's Seimach Lahakel on the Shabbos elevator. A lot has been written. I don't want to go into details, but Dafka, the example I gave you is a poor example, but none of you commented. Very simply, the Plaza Hotel and Shaarei Tzedek, in the early 70s, I remember it like yesterday, they were building the Plaza, building Shaarei Tzedek. They spent a fortune working with Nechushtan, working out a Shabbos elevator that is not affected by weight. They basically solved all problems involved with the Shabbos elevator. So I'm not asking it's less to use a regular Shabbos elevator. I use one in my house. We don't have a... But they invested a fortune of money that went into the elevators in both Shaarei Tzedek and in the Plaza Hotel. Those are Shabbos elevators
lachatchila. That's when they built the Great Synagogue, too.
A Great Synagogue, I don't know details, but in the hotel and the hospital, Shabbos elevators are extremely important. So, you understand, it's an awkward situation. It's like you're sitting down to eat at the Rebbe's table on Veis Pesach, and the Rebbe serves butters his matzah with margarine. and spreads matzah, and I'm using colloquial English, but it's matzah and matzah, and it's a pate de sasre, right? But it's, you get the idea, and the student is sitting there, he doesn't eat matzah, but the Rebbe's eating. Okay, it's a delicate situation. Al pi halacha, I would never observe a chumrah in my Rebbe's presence. And that's what, when they asked, there was the famous question that came up. In Boston, in the 50s, the Rav used Kraft's cheese. And occasionally a student from New York wandered to Boston and wound up in the Rav's home. And the Rebbetzin serves Kraft's cheese. And the Shaila is, do you eat it or don't you eat it? And we all said, la halacha, of course you have to eat it. If the Rav eats it, you're in his house. Who are you to prover from kite? Now.
She also served the kids in the Maimonides crafts marshmallows.
Marshmallows. No, we all know marshmallows. That's gelatin. That's Reb Chaim Moshe's famous hetter. Goes back to Reb Chaim Moshe. Baruch Hashem, we're zayche today. We have real marshmallows. With fish gelatin, it's not a shayla. No, beseder, yesh am mila smocha. Also, yes, I told you about Aaron Lichtenstein when he got engaged to Dr. Tovey. She wasn't Dr. Tovey yet. So he said, Aaron, are you going to, in your house, will you use Kraft cheese? He said, no, we're in New York. There was Migdal cheese already. We didn't have to be samachan heterim. But you see, it's a very delicate question. So he says, but there's another problem here, that if you don't attend, you turn down the invitation, or you're at the Rebbe's tish, the tzaddik's tish, and you suddenly get up to daven mincha, you're being mavaza a talmid chacham. And Rebbe Menashe Klein paskins la halacha that the asay, the kavod haTorah, that there's an asay to be mechaber at Talmud Chacham, right or wrong, kibud Talmud Chacham, yirat Talmud Chacham, that asay is doicha zmanei tefillah, which is only the Rabbanan. And he says, you have to be very careful not to embarrass any human being, and certainly not to embarrass a Talmud Chacham. And Reb Menashe Klein says, we live at a time that people do mitzvah and they spit in the face of Talmidei Chachamim. Vahavile mitzvah Haba'a ba'avzeira. Now, you just heard what he says? I wonder, I'm putting in parentheses, Aaron Rakefet questions, maybe he's referring here to the way they washed his face in mud because he permitted an Erev in Brooklyn. You follow? Remember, 2.5 years we worked on Erev, and we wouldn't have a rhythm today, not in Borough Park, not in Flatbush, not in Crown Heights. All these rhythm are a result of Reb Menashe Klein standing up to others and writing so many tshuvot. And it could very well be, ki avonoteinu harabim yeshnam shechoshvim b'yatzvam lasot mitzvah. We don't believe in an Erev. We're machmir like the Mishkanot Yaakov. V'omrim misur chamur shel bizayon ha-Torah v'havile mitzvah haba b'aveirah. And wow. And even though we say that when it comes to doing what is proper, and not doing a sin. So he quotes the famous Gemara that you all know, you have to rip off, if you're wearing klayim, afilu b'shut harabim, even though it's not a kavod hadam, not a kavod for a human being. But you got to remember that klayim is anisa d'oraita. Here we're talking about Isurim Derabbanan, and when it comes to Anisha Derabbanan, covet of a Talmud Chacham, covet of a human being, is more important than an Isha Derabbanan. And here he quotes the famous Gemara. Remember when I learned this Gemara as a kid, how impressed I was by it. The whole sugya that Kohanim can walk in fields that are rabbinically forbidden to them to see a king, even a Gentile king. Remember the Gemara in Brachot? That just to see the cover that a king gets, that when the day comes and we see Mashiach Tzidkenu, that we should be able to differentiate between the covet of Malchut the Ara and the covet of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and even in Nisa the Rabbanan, I don't go into details now, but remember that the burial, the Aron, there's a tefach above the body, so there's a chitza, it's only in Nisa the Rabbanan for the Kohen. Then you have a Beit Peres, a field in which there was a dead body, but the body was plowed over, so it's only an Issa de Rabbanan, only little parts of the body, less than a kezayit in every different area remain. It's only an Issa de Rabbanan. You're allowed to be over an Issa Rabbanan because of kavod hatorah, kavod hamalchut, for positive Torah reasons. Alachat kama v'kama, when we're talking about a tzaddik, when we're talking about a rebbe, you should be very careful not to embarrass him. And he gives the following suggestion. If you're already going and there's no way to daven mincha earlier, then b'diavad, not to embarrass the Rebbe, not to embarrass the people, not to embarrass the event, you can daven mincha with the Rebbe. But he's not happy about that. The best way to do it is before you go to the Suda with the Tzaddik, daven mincha, put it behind you, go to the Suda, and later that night, you'll daven Marav, which you can be yotzei b'diavad, even after midnight. Fascinating tshuva. Fascinating problem. Fascinating world. The Gemara in Brachot, which I didn't want to go into detail because it's with the Ketumah B'Tarah, take a lot of time, but you can work it out yourself if you're not familiar with the Gemara. It's Daf Yutet Amid Bet. Gentlemen, to reiterate. Let me just moisten. Tomorrow is a very, very special class. Bringing to life something that happened in the history of Yeshiva University, which is totally forgotten today, and bringing the documents in. Someone who's enterprising and has looking for a master's topic, this would be a master's any university in the world. And it ties right in with Rabbi Huttner, as we will see tomorrow, Be'ezrat HaNatem Le'yov Koach. Next
article Michael Eisenberg wrote about
Yeshiva University. Yeah, well aware of it. I'll relate to it in 2 weeks from now. About America needs us financially and for spiritual leadership, etc. Next week, Sunday, is Erev Yom HaZikaron. We can have normal class. Yomo, not a problem for you. Not a problem. Natan, not a problem. Yitzchak, not a problem. Okay.
So today is Erev.
Today is Erev Yom HaShoah. Tomorrow we'll pause in the middle for when the siren goes off at 10 o'clock. Yom HaZikaron, we don't have that. The siren's at 11 o'clock. It's after class. Okay, so I have a lot to give out, but one second, just let me reiterate. So what did we do today? One fascinating question. You're invited to the Tisha B'Av, where they're first going to daven mincha approximately 11 o'clock at night. Can you go? And he deals with tefillah.
If you walk out,
I evidently, this guy, Rav Seltzer, was a big Talmud Chacham. He's inviting him out to Kavod. A little bit difficult to disappear suddenly, and maybe someone sees you outside davening mincha, and they spread the word. Zalop Hashem. But be it as it may, the question of what he does with tefillah and the whole problem of who is a tzaddik and all that he alludes to and reading into the tshuva, it does make for a piece that stands by itself. Halach l'maisa, try to daven mincha earlier and then go to the tish. Many of us have done that, and many times when I'm invited, the other night I went to a memorial for Rabbi Glinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So they davened Marav after the talk, which approximately was 10 o'clock at night. My mind is not that clear. At 10 o'clock I'm tired, so I davened Mincha Marav, my normal time. I came up to daven. You understand? That way, the talk is over, I can go home and go to sleep. At my age, I know what my limits are. All right. What?
Yeah, I'm an old man.
No, Baruch Hashem,
halavai. You look the same as
that person. Halavai, Baruch Hashem, she thinks I'm not an old man. Now, I just want to tell you, in 2 weeks from today, exactly at this time, it's very special. They're opening my lecture to the whole world, and I'm giving a special lecture on Yerushalayim. And it's very different, as you will see, Be'ezrat Hashem.
What date is that?
2 weeks from today. I think it's May 7th. Yitzchak, this is for you.
May 8th.
You, what's May 8th?
I'm leaving for the States. My granddaughter came back.
Oh, mazal tov, mazal tov. Now, if anyone is interested, if you know what's going on in Tzfat with that almana, with the women, they were mati, where they get sikui, I have a lot to say about this, but it's not for now. This is Eliakim Rubinstein's opinion on the Beit Mishpat Elyon.
This is in Hebrew, of course?
In Hebrew, yeah. And interesting, he's got mistakes there that are unbelievable. He's not the Talmud Chacham that...
He learns Yom V'Layla.
Right, he's a Yerei Shemayim. Walks through the Mishnayot. He's a big Yerei Shemayim, but I don't entirely... But doesn't matter. It's interesting to see. This is Colin Stullen, their rules regarding modern technology.
What do they mean?
And excuse me?
Yomo.
Very, very interesting.
Yomo's Rebbe.
And this is an article by Eric Sheffer about the Mir Yeshiva from Poland to Shanghai. Very nice article. All the facts are there. It happens to be correct. This is about Chaim Grada, the famous Yiddish writer who was a yeshiva boy in his youth, what Professor Lieberman thought of him. I have to tell you, I'm told that the Rav had the same positive opinion that Lieberman had. This is an article about a couple that studied here in the Kollel, and a very wonderful couple, David and Ariel Pardo. It's the only student who changed his last name because of me. I've advised other students. No one listened to me.
I think Gidi changed it.
Who?
The Gidi, our friend Gidi.
Yeah, but he changed on his own. He didn't ask me for
it.
Yeah, no. He did, what's it, Ben Ari?
Ben Svi,
right. He changed it. Very interesting. When I met him many years ago, first day he was my student, David Bardo would it be. Then I got to know him, and I found out his father's from Turkey, his mother is from Munkach. He's a Baal Tshuva. She's also, I believe, a Baal Tshuva. His parents were Baal, or her parents were Baal Tshuva. So I told him, David Bardo? You're David Pardo. You're a great-grandson of Rav David Pardo, who was one of the great Mefarshim of the Tosefta. Let anyone prove you wrong. Pardo with a P. Do you know that he and his father legally changed their name to Pardo with a T? This is a very interesting article on Dr. Mark Weinberg. And you see, the New York Times, a new category, modern Orthodox Jew.
AIDS.
And you have to see his attitude towards lesbians. Again, I had nachat from the article, and then at the end I said, I don't agree, but all right, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Vegan restaurants aren't kosher.
Vegan.
This is a very timely
Why isn't
article.
That kosher?
You read the article, you'll see. If anyone wants this a CD with a few nicely good, I don't know who gave it to me. It's not a full CD, it's three different nigunim here. Very, very nice. So if anyone wants it, enjoy. Here's a book to play with fire. It's by a woman who was raised, I believe her father was a minister, and she was raised a non-Jew, and she became one of us, lives
really?
In Spot with all that goes with it. Very interesting book.
Give this to Sharon.
And here, Yitzchak, will you see Michael Miller?
Yeah.
Give him a gift from me. Tell him that's the book he sent me the video about. He sent me, he'll know what you're talking about. It's the new book that just came out on Ty Cobb that all the baseball addicts are talking about. Simon, believe me, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand one word. He was not a dope addict. Every ball player was a drunk at that time. But I have to tell you, Joe DiMaggio, you've heard the name? All right. A new player for the Yankees has my first name, Aaron Judge. Right? I love the name. This is his third year playing, and he has tremendous power. He seems to have caught on now. He hit last week a home run, 448-foot home run, which is astronomical. A home run is 310 feet, 320. Muhammad Eli Wagner just got smicha, made a bad mistake. He told me last week it was 451 feet. The Rebbe said 448. I checked again. I was right. But 2 days ago, he hit a home run 458 feet. So this young man...
Is that an automatic home run?
No, but it went way back into the stands. This young man has power, and he makes... And he's adding... And no, that baseball, the no band, that's the whole thing. Every stadium is built there. It's like unlike any other sport. Every stadium is different, and it depends on the stadium. And this young man, we all have to pray that he should continue. You know why? If you love the Rebbe, every morning when I spend 5 minutes on the Yankee website, when I see the Yankees are doing well again, I'm like a happy kid. And when you're a happy kid, you can be a good
I remember Mickey Mantle hit him 476.
Right. He may yet equal Mickey Mantle. Hagadoy Lim Asher Ba'aretz. Until we meet again, and I hope they're not Svuim, Hagadoy Lim, but not Svuim, Pony Rabban Asher Klein. Until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow at 9:05 a.m., we should only have the Sora Tova Teshuvah Nechamot of Menuvah Kol Yisrael, the Yom HaShoah, should give us endless strength to build the greatest state of Torah and Jews and Chesed and decency in the world. And we should be Zeicha to Binyan Beit HaMikdash B'mcheru B'yameinu Amein Selah. And don't forget, Das V'danya. Okay. Yep.